Getting incredible emails from people thanking us for Jim Paris tonight. One person despondent, ready to do themselves in. A couple other people fighting back. We'll have more with Jim Paris and your calls next on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. James Paris with us this hour. How to pray for a financial miracle. We'll take your calls. If you have miracle stories like that you want to share with us, go ahead as well. How long did it take you to pull out of this doldrum, Jim?
It took me about 7 years. And that's the part of the story that isn't very exciting, George, because people are looking for an overnight,
They want an answer.
But here's the thing. I took most of those years doing this the wrong way. In my situation, I was trying to go back and to rebuild what I had before I lost it all. And that was not what God was planning for me. That's not what God wanted me to do. So it took me 4 or 5 years to realize that I wasn't going back to that. And I'll give you an analogy. There's a lot of people probably listening right now. Maybe you had a fantastic factory job. That's just one example. But we get these emails. And their prayer is for the factory to open back up in town. Now, that's probably not going to happen. So the answer is not for you to have the factory reopen, but maybe it's for you to learn how to do computer coding or to get into one of these medical fields or to get a real estate broker's license, something different, something new that you might even probably will enjoy even more and do even better in terms of your lifestyle than what you had with that. So part of this is going through that journey. And for some people like me, very hard-headed, it took me about 4 or 5 years to realize I was not on the right track.
And what about some people who are in their 50s and they get laid off? It's difficult for somebody like that to rebound, isn't it?
Well, it really, I'm going to say this, it's going to sound heartless, but it's really not today. Because of all of these new opportunities, George, where you can literally, in a year, get totally retrained, do something new. That did not used to be the case. I mean, it used to be that, if you were, an electrician and you couldn't do that anymore, it would take you a very long time to get back into the status that you were in. There are so many new fields opening up literally every day, like this computer coding. I saw, I believe it was on HBO, a documentary. They take a homeless guy, give him a laptop and teach him how to code, and he's making six figures now writing computer code, owns a home and is doing fantastic. These are things that don't even require going to college that you can do in today's economy. People set up websites. They go to YouTube. You can set up an account on YouTube. Well, I know one family that did this, and they just started doing funny things as a family and making YouTube videos, and then you get paid every time someone watches one of those videos. They paid off all their debt, including their home, just from the money they made with a family reality show they launched on YouTube. So there's so many things today that you can do. So I believe there's more reason to be hopeful today than ever.
Well, is there a factor of luck here, Jim, at all?
I'm not a big believer in luck. However, I will tell you this, that the more ideas that you try to embark upon, obviously your better chances that one of those is going to succeed. I'm a big believer when you go into these prayer sessions in praying with one problem in mind at a time. Because one of the issues is, George, when people are praying for a solution to a financial problem, one big problem ends up creating like 100 smaller problems. So what happens is when I've tried to talk with people and counsel with people that are in these situations, I'll say, okay, here's what we can do about your car. And immediately, before I even finish my sentence, they'll say, yeah, but they're coming to foreclose my house. And I'll start talking about that. Yes, but they're going to do this to me on my credit cards. So what you've got to do is clear all that out and start thinking about, one issue at a time. And there are so many things that can be done when you do this. Just take a house, for example. If you're losing your house right now to foreclosure, maybe you don't want that house. I can tell you this, that there are people that will fight to keep a house. They will do all kinds of things, making double payments, getting interest forgiven, And then in the end, they say, I don't know why I did all that, because mm-hmm. I don't even want this house. So put it all on the table and let God give you wisdom regarding what you can do. Maybe you want to keep the house. You can negotiate with the bank. You can many times get payments forgiven. You can get the loan recast. There's all kinds of different programs. But if you throw your hands up in the air and you just panic, you're never going to find an answer that way. But there are answers to all these things. I don't care what age you are. You're in your 50s. You're in your 60s. You're in your 70s. It really doesn't matter, because as long as you still have your mind and you can listen to God, there's something you can do. There, you know, in my case, I'm worth about minimum wage from the neck down. So I always tell people that. Today's economy is not about being physical. You know, even if you're in a wheelchair, if you've got a physical challenge, there's so many things you can do just with the internet right now. So many stories we hear from people launching internet businesses, making their income online, even a part-time income that they can make online.
Attitude. How important is that?
Attitude is everything, because once you decide that there's no hope, then you're right. Once you make that decision, and I got to that point. I got to the darkest place you could ever get to.
Yes.
And when you get to a point that you think that the only answer is to put a gun to your head and kill yourself, when you reach that point, which is where I got, I said to myself, it can't be any worse. I mean, going on living can't be worse than me blowing my brains out here. And that's how ridiculous your mind can let you, you know, get with these things. My wife sat down with me and she said, I don't care about the money. I love you, and as long as we're together, that's all that I care about. And George, that saved my life, because I thought that my wife might have really only loved me because of all the money and the great vacations. And when we had lost everything, and she said, I love you for you, and I don't care. We'll make it through this. And we did. And that's the thing about money. Money comes and money goes. I have good friends that are multimillionaires. I have friends that have nothing. You know, the amount of money they have seems to have very little to do with how happy they are in life. It is mostly attitude.
Let's take some calls here for you, James. We'll go to Susan in Ohio, east of the Rockies, to get things going. Hi, Susan.
Hi. James, I remember hearing you a few years ago on a different radio program, and everything you're saying is the absolute truth. I went through a situation a few years ago, and I mean, I was working and working and subbing and no steady income or nothing. And finally, once I just stopped and started looking and said, you know what, maybe I should just change careers. You know, maybe I can do something different, something that would at least get me steady. And I sat down and started looking and said, what can I train for on the weekends or something? And, you know, still work. And lo and behold, a advertisement for Roadmasters came on. And I said, well, that's it, right there. They're all over the place, and they're always hiring. And I went and did it, and happy as can be.
Good for you. It worked for you. See, it does work, James.
Yeah, and you know, there's so many things today, like Uber. You know, you hear...
Oh, yeah.
I know people driving with Uber and these kinds of things. You couldn't do that even 5 years ago. The idea of, you know, and some of these Uber people, I travel and I take the Uber all the time, and these are some of the happiest people you'll ever meet. They make their own schedule. They make as much money as they want, and they just drive around. You know, it's okay to do those kinds of jobs, and maybe that's all you need is a job like that.
Or you supplement, or you do whatever you have to do.
Absolutely.
Oxnard, California. Justin's with us, west of the Rockies. Hi, Justin. Go ahead.
Hey, George. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I was addicted to substances for 15 years. Me and my wife were living out in abandoned buildings out in Decatur, Illinois. And I was forced to move into a homeless shelter. It kind of imposed Christianity on us and everything, but I actually really started to get into it. And I earnestly just prayed for God's will to be in my life. And I mean, my addiction is completely gone. My wife came back. We moved back out to California. and I'm just living a really good life right now.
Good for you.
It works.
It does work.
Fantastic. Jim, I love hearing that. And, you know, I know it sounds like a cliche, but prayer does work. And it's not about a religion. It's not about one of these guys on TV saying to send you your money to them, all of that. It's just you looking up to the heavens and just asking God, what is your plan for me? I'm listening. And it's that simple.
Jim, what if you're not a believer in God? Then what?
Well, you know what? I think that, what was it? There are no atheists in foxholes. Was that the quote? I think when
something
you get to
like
the bottom,
that.
George, I think we all become believers. I think there's a stage in many people's lives where you're so successful, you kind of are your own God. And I was probably there for a while. But then somebody gets cancer in the family, or somebody has some other tragedy, or you lose all your money, and all of a sudden, when you have no one else to turn to, God is your friend, and he's there for you, waiting for you to turn to him. So for those that don't believe, I would challenge you, humor me. Get your yellow pad. Go to the quiet place for 2 hours and just talk into the air and say, God, if you're there, I'm in this situation. I want your help. And I believe you'll be shocked at what will happen.
Jim, my mother used to have a phrase. It was really cool, something I always remembered. And she just said, George, remember this for the rest of your life. And I said, what, Mom? She said, I cried because I had no shoes until I saw someone with no feet. Isn't that something?
Yeah, I've heard that before, and it goes back to the whole gratefulness issue. So many times our financial stress is that we want the newest thing, or we want a bigger house. And I'm telling you, one of the biggest movements right now, George, I don't know if you've had any guests on talking about minimalism.
Nope, I don't think
so.
The
idea of just having as little as you can physically. There's one guy I read about, made a bunch of money in the technology field. And so what he does is he has, I believe, like 3 or 4 T-shirts, 2 pairs of jeans, and a laptop computer in a backpack. That's all he has.
That's all he needs,
that's
right?
That's all he wants to have. And he just travels around, and does different things. But, making your life simple, going back to the basics. I mean, people are doing this. They're starting to plant gardens. They're getting into what are called these tiny houses. We've got articles at ChristianMoney.com about this tiny house movement where people are just basically setting up a small place where it's like a bed and a place to eat and a place to shower. Just a small little place. People are getting away from these big houses and big mortgages and having to have the newest cars. I think we're wising up that none of that makes us happy, and we don't own any of that. It owns us in the end. And having as little as possible is kind of the new happiness.
In 1962, Sam Walton opened up his first Walmart store. He was 44 years old. He did that in Arkansas. This company today is doing well over $300-400 billion in business, 6,000-plus facilities, couple million employees, and the guy was content to drive a pickup truck, an old, beat-up pickup truck. He didn't need anything else. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, and they say the same thing about Warren Buffett, that he lives in a small home and drives an older model car. I don't know if that's still the case or not, but because here's the deal. These people have realized that it's not about getting more stuff that's going to make you happy. This guy, he probably just loved his business, loved growing a business, loved providing jobs for people, low-cost products for people, and that was his passion. And the money part of it wasn't really that important to him, how much he was personally making. A lot of these folks, they give away all their money. I know the guy that started Facebook, the young guy, Mark Zuckerberg.
Zuckerberg.
He recently announced he's giving away everything.
Well, not everything. Not everything.
Well, I'm sure he's still got enough that even if he gives away.
Keep a billion. You'll still be okay, right?
Right. Absolutely.
Let's go to Doug in New Jersey, east of the Rockies. Go ahead, Doug.
Hi, good evening. How are you tonight?
Good, Doug. Thank you.
Glad to hear it. Definitely. I agree 100%. It's all in the way that you look at things and not what you're trying to take in, but what you're projecting out. I got into some serious financial problems to the point where I was down to a couple of tax payments away from losing our house. And basically the reason why was anytime I got any free time from work, I would go, I would spend my vacation time and whatnot following around a couple of music groups that I enjoyed quite a bit. And it got to the point where I was losing my mind here, saying I'm going to wind up losing the house or just have to end this with the music. And then I realized, you know, I could probably make money at the festivals. And the next thing you know, I was selling bottles of water for $1 a piece. And we set up a grill and we began to sell hot dogs. And we started off with, I believe, $75 worth of hot dogs and soda and a cooler with a few bags of ice. And within 2 hours, my buddy had to leave the parking lot, take two trips to the store.
To get more, huh?
To get more rolls, hot dogs, and soda. And by the time we came back from a four-day tour with a $75 investment, not including the ticket price, we came home with $1,500 each and decided we live within 3 miles of a major sports center that has concerts there outdoor all summer long. Regardless of who the concert is, people are thirsty. They don't want to buy a beer for $7. They want that bottle of water for $1.
Yep.
You go there with 20 cases of water, and you're going home without any water, and you're making quite a quick penny. And I said to myself, if I can't legally make $1 because of the economy the way it is right now, and the bank kept threatening about the house with the taxes, but I also know that right now the banks don't want any more houses. They have enough of them that they're paying the taxes on. So I figured as long as I can go ahead and keep up with the payments, it was good enough. But it turned out to be very lucrative, and it turned out working fine.
Good for you, Doug.
Back on track with the house.
And you're still doing the business?
Every chance we get.
Good for you.
Every chance we get.
Innovation.
When they have a local show here.
Jim Paris, what do you think of that?
Wow, that's fantastic. That almost sounds like Jesus feeding the 5,000 with him, with the bread and the hot dogs and the water. And I'll tell you what, to me, that's a financial miracle. Some people would say, no, it's got to be a magical bag of money appearing out of thin air. That's a financial miracle right there. A guy with $75 with bread and hot dogs and water, it turns it into $3,000.
That's amazing.
A financial miracle. I'll take that every day.
And it's still growing for him. That is
absolutely
something else. That is something. Jim, give out your website. We're going to come back and take final calls with you, but give out your site for people. And you
take
emails.
The website is christianmoney.com, and the book is on Amazon. It's called How to Pray for a Financial Miracle.
Somebody opened that door for you. You think it was the man upstairs?
Absolutely. I believe God has given me this opportunity to be on with you. George, I was sitting on a park bench, and I'm a regular listener to your show. I get the insider where you can listen to the replays and all that.
Yep.
I've been there for years. And it hit me, I need to write a letter to George Norrie about this book.
I remember that letter.
I wrote the letter, and within, I don't know, 3 or 4 days, Tommy calls me up, and he says, we want to have you on the show, and it's just unbelievable.
And the rest is history. We're going to come back with final calls with Jim Paris. Hey, welcome back to Coast with James Paris. It's our final segment here talking about his work, How to Pray for a Financial Miracle. I'm convinced, Jim, that this works. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing. And the feedback that I get from people, they start by being skeptical. But then I'll say, have you ever tried it? And almost no one has tried this. I don't know why this is such a shocking idea, the idea of prayer being a two-way communication, because that's what prayer was in the Bible in biblical times. But we don't do that today. It's all a one-way deal. And the idea of sitting and listening, I know some Far East religions call this meditation, and more the Christian religions, it's our way of praying, but listening for God to give you a direction. Just at Amazon alone, Over 156 people have given the book a 4.5-star rating, and there's nothing I can do to control that. And I don't even take credit for most of this content other than just tell people I honestly shared my story, and this is what God really did with me. So it's not even my idea here. It's just me sharing what really happened in my own life. And in the back of the book, we have like a little journal section where people can actually do these prayer sessions and then write in what God is telling them to do as they go through the book and they're doing these prayer sessions. But if you haven't tried it, maybe you've tried everything else. I got to that point. I was ready to kill myself, and I thought, maybe I'll listen to God now. And I did, and it changed my life.
You realize, do a little George Bailey here from It's a Wonderful Life, how many people you affect with your life and what would have happened had you done yourself in?
You know, George, I want to say this because I truly mean it. I was thinking about this earlier tonight. I may have only been born to write this book and to be on your show. And if that's my purpose, if that was it, I'm thrilled that I was able to do it.
Well, how about that? Okay, let's take final calls here for you. We go to Lisa in Oregon, west of the Rockies. Good morning, Lisa. Almost.
Hi. Hi, Jim. Hi, George.
Hi there.
Hi. I just listening to Jim tonight inspired me to call in because I just wanted to share a little story tonight with you all out there that, you know, when you don't give up and when you pray, even when you don't know how to pray, even if you're not religious, there's always hope. There's always, you know, something, you know, like energy out there, you know, whether you believe in God or not, there's someone out there always watching over us. And my nephew, he was in a car accident a couple months ago, and he was in a five rollover car accident. He blacked out, and the person that spotted him, the Good Samaritan that spotted him, luckily he had a LED light on his vehicle, and it was dark out there, and he had that put in right before the car accident, and the Good Samaritan saw him and called. A state trooper came out, and the fire department came out, and he woke up in a ditch, and the car was like total, and the trooper and the fire department said, "Son, we don't know how you made it out alive, you know." He said, "You are so lucky to be alive, you know. And if you have any family members, please let them know where you are, you know." And he was like stunned for a minute when he woke up. He didn't remember anything. He went blind for a little while.
Oh, jeez.
And that's
a miracle all by itself.
It is. And even after through all of that, you know, he lost his job, and right now he's homeless right now because he's going through a bad divorce with his wife, and he's homeless living in his car out in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And I've been trying to stay in contact with him, letting him know, you know, that he does have family that care, you know, and just to hold on, you know, even though I can't help him right now financially, that, you know, that I'm praying for him. I'm sending positive energy.
How are his spirits?
You know, inspiring. Him.
Okay, you're breaking up a little bit, Lisa, but how are his spirits? Well, we lost her. Lost her on the cell phone there, James, but that's a tough row, huh?
You know, my two daughters were in a car accident just like what she's describing, and when we pulled up on the accident scene, all we could see were the taillights well off into the woods. And the car was bumped by another car, and it was upside down, and they slid about 100 yards into the woods. The car was upside down. When the police got to the car, they were hanging from their seatbelts upside down in the vehicle. And that's what the police officer told me. We can't believe that they walked away from this. And there are, George, I believe this. I believe there are angels around us protecting us, and I believe they protected my two daughters that night. And these are things many times we take for granted. We say, well, it was luck that this happened, or it was just a coincidence. I don't believe that.
No,
believe
there are no coincidences.
There are angels protecting us.
Pensacola, Florida. Mike's with us, first-time caller. Michael, you're on with James Paris.
Good morning, fellows. Really enjoy the show.
Thanks, Mike.
And I am a minimalist, and I used to be a president of a bank, used to own 7 motorcycles, was an avid collector, and I've always been lucky ever since I had a paper out at 14. But I guess that's your attitude. But I believe in prayer, and I also say expect results quickly. And the reason I say that is I have this breathing disorder called sarcoid. My eyes are affected, my lungs, my trachea. So I can't work, and so I have a very minimal budget. And so what happened was it got to the point where I was literally having my discretionary income during the month less than like $255. It's just very difficult. Tried getting part-time jobs, couldn't do them. And so I was down. I was way down. Couldn't even afford to go see a doctor. And so I started praying every day, and I read the Bible every day, and I got to the part about the loaves and fishes. And when you said that earlier about there's no magic bag of money, I have a magic drawer. What I would do is I would take any money I had and stick it in that drawer for emergencies. And let me tell you something, I don't know how many times that I thought I've had $300 in there, I open the drawer, and there'll be $600.
I love it.
Now, I know that's far-fetched, but I do believe in miracles, and I do believe in what God preaches and his, you know, his benevolence and his care for us. And so I wanted to tell folks that the book that you've got and what you're preaching today, I am there. And I'll give you an example, if you don't mind.
Sure, go ahead.
The tough part of the book is when you don't have anything, you lose things. But guess what? You have things to lose. I sold a desk yesterday, and I was ridiculed by my friends. Going, why are you selling that nice desk? And I said, because I have a card table. You have to look at things.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And sometimes having wealth is not having what you want. It's having what you need.
Well said. There's somebody who's well on his way to turning it around, Jim.
Yeah, and I'll tell you something else. People are going to think this is crazy. His story about the drawer with the money. I have had cases where someone gets in touch with me and they want one of these books. And, you know, on occasion, you know, when we can do it, we'll send someone out a book. You know, we'll just give it to them. And I knew I had no books because they were out. And I'll go to my shelf and there are books now for that person and for a couple of other people that I don't know where these books came from. And I've never told anyone this before. My wife is listening. She'll probably say, why didn't you tell me that? It is just an amazing thing how these little miracles that we kind of write off, and I'll say, well, maybe I miscounted, but no, I know I didn't have any of these books left. I needed to order more from the from Amazon, from the manufacturer, CreateSpace, to get these, and I was out, but somebody wanted one, and then all of a sudden, one was there for me to give away.
Jim, when you look at this, how do we know that we're not tapping into some kind of power of consciousness with these affirmations as opposed to dealing with God, but that we are basically using the power of positive thinking? And we've turned it around, that people turn it around, that you turned it around that way.
Well, I think there is a power in just thinking, and we don't do that today. What we do is we panic when we have a problem. We call technical support, or we scream for someone to come and help us if our computer freezes up. We don't try to solve our own problems. I think that some of this could be that. But in my own case, I can tell you that the things that I've done, like writing the letter to you, George, I pass this park bench all the time that I stopped at because I ride my bicycle a lot, and I pass it. Every time I pass that park bench, I say to myself, that's the bench I was sitting at when the idea came to write the letter to you about having me on to talk about this book. And I don't do that. I don't write letters to talk show hosts. I was told to do that. When I go back and I look at the different things I've done that I've learned through these prayer sessions, they are not my own ideas that emerged. I know that because these were not the lines of thinking that I was embarking on. As I said, I was trying to go back and rekindle the past to get back everything I lost, and God put me on a whole different path. And so that's why I'm convinced. And like this last caller said, you know, I have a strong, you know, belief in what he's saying about look for results, you know, because if God's in something, he'll fund it. And I've had so many people say, you know, I think God's calling me to do this or to open this kind of a business. And my reaction is, well, have you prayed through it? Well, I just feel that. So if God's in that, he'll fund it. God's not going to give you a desire to do something and then not the money to be able to do that if it's going to take money. So these are things to think through when you're praying. You know, test your prayers. If you feel like you're being told to move, you know, check it out. Get on realtor.com and see what the houses are going for in that city. Maybe start sending some resumes out to some employers in that city. See what happens. If God's in that, he's going to bring it to fruition for you.
Let's take a couple more calls here. Night is almost over for you, Jim. You're going by fast. Mike in Reading, Massachusetts. Hey, Mike, go ahead.
Hi, George. Happy birthday to you, sir.
Thanks, Mike.
I'm so happy I was able to get through. James, I've been feeling overwhelmed because I have federal and state taxes, debt, and I haven't been in the computer field since 2008. I have gone for a couple of jobs here and there. One thing I'm running into is some of these companies won't hire you if you have bad credit. And I'm just feeling overwhelmed because I just want to get rid of this tax that I have. Plus, I have other debt as well. And I just wondering if there's a I'm sure there's some companies out there that would offer me a job without checking my credit rating.
Checking your credit for a job, that's a big thing right now, Mike. A lot of companies are doing this, background checks, but not all will do that. But let me tell you, on this tax problem, we get a lot of emails, and there are people that you can go to who can help you with that. There are websites, there are programs where the IRS will work with you. You can get settlements, pennies on the dollar in some cases. You can get payment plans. There are things you can do about that. It's not hopeless.
They would rather work with you than attack you, wouldn't they?
Absolutely. And, you know, in this case, here's a guy who wants to work and he can't work because of these tax debts. I mean, it would seem like it would be a win-win for everybody if these tax debts could be resolved so that he could work. I mean, that's all that he wants to do. But sometimes, you know, maybe the answer is not working for somebody. Maybe Mike could be in his own business doing computers. I know a guy here in town. He runs a small ad on Google. He buys a small ad, and for $75, he'll come to your house and fix your computer. And he told me that he does some days three or four of those service calls. And it's just a guy working out of his house, and he just drives around and gets your computer going when it freezes up, viruses and so forth. So there's all kinds of these little things that people are doing, and maybe, you know, God is saying maybe Mike should have his own business doing something like that rather than working for someone.
Well, you'd be amazed at the things you can accomplish if you just set your mind to it. Let's go to San Andreas, California. Paul's turn on Coast to Coast. Paul, good morning to you.
There, how are you?
Good, Paul. Thank you.
I like your show. I've been trying to get through for about a year.
Well, you made it.
Okay, I made it. I like the gentleman you have on your show, and I like the cut of his jib.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, but you were a Navy man, right?
Yes, sir. 9 years.
Well, you know, with the cut of your jib. You know what that is?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I'm a sailor. I have a sailboat, so I absolutely know what he's saying.
All right. I'm 80 years old. I have one leg. I have diabetes. I'm in a wheelchair. I lost my sight for 3 years. I did a lot of praying. The good Lord gave my sight back. I know I couldn't grow my leg, but I said, if he'd please let me have my sight, and he did that. So I understand what prayer is, and I believe in the good Lord. But anyway, I've never wanted to be rich. I've always said if I could take care of my family, have a roof over my head, and go fishing now and then, do a little hunting, and take my wife out to dinner now and then, that I'd be very happy. And I have been. I've had a good life.
Good for you.
Wouldn't trade it for nothing. And I think the gentleman that's there, even though at one time he had a lot, he understands how I am now.
Good for you, Paul. A little reaction to that, James?
Well, Paul, I like the cut of your jib, sir. And I'll tell you what, I'm with you. If life is, if everybody could see life the way you do, I mean, what a wonderful life when there's a little bit of time for fishing, taking your wife out to a dinner every so often. We could all look at things that way. I think we'd all be so much happier.
I think so, too. You know, it's difficult sometimes, as you know, Jim, when you've had it and you lose it. But once you realize it doesn't mean anything, it changes your perspective.
It really does. You know, at the marina where I have my sailboat, I have one of the smallest boats, George. I've got a 22-foot boat. And one day I was in there, and this big yacht comes in, and the harbor master tells me this is a relative of the royal family from England. And this guy gets off the boat. He comes up to my boat with his little dog, and we're talking. We're two boaters. I've got the 22-foot boat. He's got a 100-foot yacht. And my wife said to me, she said, who was that? I goes, oh, he's a cousin of Prince Charles. And she said, and he's talking to you? I said, yeah, we're both on the boat. And so we're going out on the boat that day. And she said, well, we all have the same view, right? No matter what size of our boat, we got this little boat. He has the big boat. But we're all on the same beautiful ocean with the same view. And there's a lot to be said about that. You could have all this extra stuff, but really, how much does it add to your life?
Indeed, indeed. Jim, thanks for being on the program again. You always are a delight, and you do help a lot of people, so I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. God bless you.
Jim Paris, his book, How to Pray for a Financial Miracle, his website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. It is, however, christianmoney.com, and that's available for you anytime you want. You can email him by going straight to that website. In a moment, the Evolution Delusion with Dr. Bo Kirkwood. Get ready for a scientific study of creation and evolution.